Well, good morning. How's your Lenten path going? All right. Any temptations this week? Always. We have them, don't we? They do come. This is an interesting passage because we're not sure how it really sometimes fits in with Lent. So I'll tell you ahead of time. This is a passage that's telling you to keep going. We'll give you three kind of keys to that today. Keep going on. Whatever you planned, whatever you're giving up for Lent, whatever your goal as you're going, no matter what your obstacle may be, keep on going. We have a day to look forward to, don't we? That day is we serve what? A risen Savior. He is risen.
He is risen.
Good, we're practicing, all right? We get to that Easter time, we're going to hear that a lot louder, right? A lot more enthusiasm, right? Because we're preparing. Are you not happy? Are you not joyful that God has forgiven you from your sin? Okay, some of you are. All right. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? That God loved us so much that no matter what we've done, he has given himself to us. He died for sinful man, sinful women, all of us. And nobody else needs to know, but he knows. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? And so this time, each time as we go through, there's parts of each week. And as you go through your, nice in the bulletin, it has a thing for you to go through the week, is a nice pathway to walk one step at a time, one prayer at a time, as we get closer and closer to that time. Because we are the only religion that serves a risen. But he is the only one God, and we serve a risen Savior. Now, there's some people in the story, right? If you don't remember, got cheat sheet, right? One is King Herod. Heard of him before? Well, there were three that we know of in history, in the Bible. King Herod, all three of them, not very nice kings. If you remember, years and years ago, and if you look into the Bible in the Old Testament, Israel wanted to have what? A king. They wanted to be like everybody else. We want a king. Samuel said, I'm praying you don't get one. I don't want you to have a king. What do kings do? They take things. They take your land. They'll take your children. They'll take your men for warriors. And they'll take your money. That was given kings. But guess what? Israel kept saying, we want one too. We want like everybody else. And kings in those days had a tendency to do things that would make them feared and prosperous. They're very political. We don't have any kind of like that. We don't have kings now, right? But are we political? When you get into leadership, there's a lot of politics. The politics of this day is that Herod made a deal with the Jews, and he restored Solomon's temple. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel, you'll get that opportunity. Then you'll see in the ruins and at the wall is that everything had been restored as Solomon days, and the Jewish people felt indebted to King Herod. King Herod also used the Roman government, or the Roman government, guess what? Used him. He's considered a puppet king. This King Herod we talk about is the one that had John the Baptist, what? Beheaded. Nice guy, right? Yeah, off with your head. And, what, you know, just because he wanted to satisfy evil desires. He was not known as a good king. He was evil. The other group that comes on the scene is the, starts with a P, it's in your little thing there, called the Pharisees. They were known in the Jewish realm as the leaders of the religious group. If you wanted to know what laws and that you should follow to be a good person, you would follow the teaching of the Pharisees. The reason that the Pharisees were always challenged in Scripture is because they should have been seeing what? That Jesus was the Messiah. They should have seen it. They knew the Torah. They'd been teaching the Torah. They had him present. They should have welcomed him. Instead, their whole goal was to what? Get rid of him. And in some cases, to the point where they would get rid of him, where he would be killed. Because they did not want any other teaching than the teaching they would give. And they had a tendency to add things to the Scripture. We have to be very careful. I mentioned that last week. Always check people out when they're giving out the Word of God. Make sure they didn't add it. Salvation tells me that I have to come to God, and what do I need to do? Confess my sins, and He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive me for just a few of them, right? And then if I give a little more money, I can get the rest forgiven, right? No, I'm faithful and just to forgive you all. Even in some religions today, it's always something and plus. And Jesus said that's not the way it's supposed to be. So the Pharisees didn't like it that Jesus was telling them the plain word of God and he was the Messiah, and they did not want to accept that. And many of the Jewish people today do not accept that. They are Messianic Jews, which means that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So these Pharisees, and we're not sure which kind these are. There was a group of Pharisees that were against the Roman government. They were even taking up weapons to fight the Roman government. And if you study history, you will find that that group later on tried to do it, didn't do a very good job, and then tried again. But their zealousness was not to the Scripture. It was to taking over the Roman government. The Roman government was oppressive and was the cruelest government in history that we know of in regards to capital punishment and things like that. They believed that Rome had its finger or thumb on this King Herod, known as a puppet king. It's interesting because later in this passage, we find that Herod, Jesus mentions him as a what? A fox. Now, we like foxes, don't we? Think they're cute, right? We wish we had them as a pet maybe or a dog because they're cute. In the Bible, in the land of Judah, Judah was supposed to be known being ruled by what? A lion. Do you have a view of a lion? Remember, he was this in your little books that you learned even as a kid. He was the lion was what? The king. King of the jungle. A roaring lion. Jesus is pictured as what? A king and a lion. And a lamb. You know, there's some things like Melchizedek, you know. He was a priest, a king, right? And a prophet. But Jesus called Herod a fox, meaning he could think he might be clever, but it really didn't mean that in those days. What it meant was he was a scavenger, bottom feeder. Kind of an insult, right, to these Pharisees. You go ahead and tell him what you want to tell. He's not a lion. He's not a ruler. He's a pawn of the Roman government, and he's just a scavenger. He's a dirty dog. He's a fox. So the Pharisees come along, and we don't know, like I said, if they're the ones that are from the sect that want to overthrow the Roman government. We're not sure if they're the ones that just didn't like Jesus preaching in the area because he was the Messiah. Or could they have been legitimately some Pharisees out of Jerusalem that really cared and was worried about Jesus? We don't know. You can spend more time to study to see if you do and share. But it's one of those three. The warning was, Herod wants to kill you. if they're from any of the other sects of the Pharisees, it was really the blame in Herod, but guess who else wanted him dead? A lot of the Pharisees. Think Jesus knew that? Yeah, he knew that. So he mentioned about Herod being a fox. And then I think it's very interesting. Have you ever been somewhere where they didn't want you there? Anybody? I was telling people, it's very interesting when you have to expound on a scripture, even as a pastor, there's a message we look for the church as a whole. And if the word of God is true, it's going to speak to you too. It's been some tough weeks, folks, for me. And I think it's because of the things I have to teach. I've got to talk with them to see if they can change some easier scriptures to teach on. But even this week, I have a group of people, and I have a group, I basically what they call an executive director. So I have directors that report to me. And I got 4 out of 6 that would love to see me gone. And they've tried. They've called our corporate offices. They've had me investigated twice. There's nothing there to see, so that's part of life. It's not what I want, and I really don't mind anymore because I'm at an age now. I told Carol, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens, happens. That's up to God. But it's very interesting to be in a position of any kind and not be wanted. You been there? Hopefully not at home. But it's not fun, is it? Not to be wanted, to be excluded. That's why when we look at our sign and we say this is a church of love, we want anyone that walks in those doors to feel what? Welcome. And I hope you do. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad every Sunday that I get to come to see you, I get to see you. It's wonderful. And it's good to be around people of God's people that love each other and care, right? And want to see us have a good week or a good day. But how do we deal with situations in our lives where we're not wanted? Jesus knew Herod may be out to kill him. And the Pharisees may have used that as an excuse because they didn't want him there either. They didn't say, come with us and we'll protect you and we'll take you on to Jerusalem, did they? No, what they suggested is you leave. My directors aren't saying, oh, we'll help you again, we'll work with you, just do this or do that. No, they'd like to see me leave. I had one in Creo speaking and saying, oh, I can't wait until I see him go out the door to backwards. But somebody knew Creo. And I said, well, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that in our Christian life? You know, sometimes we'd like to have the part where we call revenge or let me do this or let me do that. And then we still struggle in our lives. You know, that's the old nature says, right? Get revenge, do something here. And God's nature says, you know, whatever it is. And just trust God and keep doing what you should do for God. And we heard the scripture before. Somebody slaps you on the one cheek. What do you do? How many are you going to do that? But that's what it asks us to do. Even if it's not physical, it could be mental. It's still, when somebody slaps you, depending on how hard, it what? Hurts. And if we love God's people and love the world of sinners and try to draw them to Christ, we also what? Love them. And Jesus, first of all, tells him what? I'm kind of busy. I got things I'm doing. Today I'm doing this. Tomorrow I'm doing that. Third day I might be finished, but I'm going to do what? I'm going to keep on doing. Message for you today, as I mentioned before, keep on doing. Don't let others stop you. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let pain stop you. Keep on living for Jesus every day. Your work is never done, never retired, never finished until what happens? God says, come on home. And hopefully we all hear that statement, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Aren't you waiting for that day? And as we get older, our health fails or other things, we can't wait for that day. I serve some seniors, and it's interesting. Those without a relationship with God are fearful. Those with are ready to go now. Where are you? But if you're here, you got work to do. And Jesus says in his life, even though there was the fear that he might get killed, there was the fear that the Pharisees didn't want him in the land, he was going forward because that's what his Father willed him to do, and he was doing it. Pray, seek the Word, and let God know what you should be doing, and do it. That's the message he was trying to give. And then he wants you to know his heart. I told some of you, if you ever want to know how much Jesus loves you, read John 17, okay? As much as the Father loved the Son saying, my Father loves you that much. If you can get it about our relationship, you'll know what God's love is for you. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you have a tendency and a history of killing the prophets. I don't know who all they killed. I tried to do a little search for that. History and church history, it says at least six prophets in the time of King Herod were killed in Jerusalem. One was a prophet named Zechariah. He was a prophet and a priest. He happened to be in the area of the temple, and he was killed in the temple yard. John the Baptist, he prophesied about who? And we know what happened to him. That's two out of six. You can look up the four other ones. And he said, look, the place that murders, that's what you're known for. Murdering the people that are giving God's word. And then he says, I wish you knew how much I love you. Wait a minute, God. This is the same people that want leadership to kill you, others telling you to lead, and you're telling us you what? Love them? I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a tendency to measure who we should love and who we shouldn't love. Aren't we glad God's not like that? Because really, in our old self, we wouldn't be lovely, would we? We wouldn't love each other. It's only by God's grace. So he says, what I would really want you to know, I would like to gather you like a hen gathers its little babies, the little chicks. Kind of a cute little picture in your mind, isn't it? Mother hen taking the little ones in, warming them up. A lot of times their feathers aren't all that fluffy and all that, or don't have all the protection. Mother hen was there to give them the warmth they needed and give them the protection they needed. What a picture of a loving Savior. The Bible also tells us that Jesus did what when he looked over Jerusalem? He wept for them. Why? Because of their disconnect and knowing he was the Messiah that loved them. When was the last time you or I or us as a church wept for the unsaved? The unsaved neighbor next door. Someone that maybe you know, maybe days aren't very long, but God's been gracious to give them another hour, another day. And you don't know where they stand before the Lord, but the testimony seems that they don't know the Lord. Are we willing to take them under our wing and share the love of Christ? So what did I learn? I learned that, number one, whatever I'm doing, if I'm doing it for Him, Does it matter what others say? Does it matter about the attacks I receive? No. I must keep on doing. And then I know that I'm in the purpose of God as I'm doing, and I ought to have this love for others. And I'm doing it not for me, but for Him. The Spirit of the Lord led Jesus Christ to testing last week, as we read. And it's the Spirit of the Lord that gave Him strength through the process of people asking Him to leave and showing His love. In the process of us being able to keep doing, we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We can't do it ourselves, but through Him, we can do anything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for a short passage that reminds us to keep doing the things that God would have us do. And as we prepare our hearts for a joyous time of knowing that we see Him dying on a cross for our sins that we are so thankful for, we also at the same time rejoice because You were so pleased You gave Him the power to raise from the dead. We don't know what this week will give, but Lord, I ask You to fill us with Your Spirit that we may conquer the evil one and we may keep on doing. In Jesus' name, amen.